Amanda Eller is a yoga instructor and a physical therapist. She became lost while hiking in Maui this past spring. She had planned to go on a 3-mile hike, and before she even started the journey, she made some big, big mistakes. She left her cell phone and her wallet and her water bottle in her RAV4 as she parked at the head of the trail. Just thinking this is going to be maybe, 30, 45-minute, hike around the trail. It shouldn't be all that bad, but can you imagine how far she walked before she realized, I'm lost? It's one of those things that, you take a wrong turn down the path and you keep going because you think that you're on the right path. And you keep heading that same direction, believing all along that this is all right. This is where the path is supposed to go. And this is going to lead me exactly where I intend to go. But imagine how she felt when she then realized, I am in the wrong place. I am so, so lost. It should have been a short hike, but it turned out to be a fight for her life. She used leaves to cover herself at night. The bugs were constantly biting her. You like bugs, don't you? Don't like bugs. The bugs liked her, that's all right. She actually, though, she kind of got some payback on the bugs because she survived on berries and bugs and whatever water that she could find along the way. Each day of Amanda's trial, it brought different struggles. She's trying to find her way back to the trail, and she thought that she was heading the right way when she was heading the wrong way. When you get disoriented, it's hard to remember where you've come from and where you're going. And so she believed she was heading in the right direction. She was heading in the absolute wrong direction. The situation went from bad to much worse on the third day of her ordeal when Amanda broke her ankle. Yeah. At times, fear was paralyzing her. There were days that were just rolling on. And, it gets dark really fast in the forest when the sun drops below the horizon. Amanda was losing weight and she was losing hope. When she didn't return to the hotel, her boyfriend got worried. The next day, he contacted the police and they found the Toyota parked there at the trailhead. But they found no sign of her. And so they set up a search party and they offered a $50,000 reward for any information that could be used to be able to rescue Amanda. They were hoping for the very best. They feared the very worst. Amanda's story is so much like our spiritual journey. What was intended to be an incredible experience in paradise turned out to be disaster because of poor choices and unfortunate circumstances. I want to share with you a parable that Jesus shared in Luke chapter 15. Now, as you're turning there, let me give you the context. Jesus has been teaching and preaching and visiting with people, doing great miracles. Crowds were gathering around him to listen. But the religious leaders of the day, they didn't like Jesus all too well, because he was becoming more popular, and that some of the things that he was saying, he was calling out their hypocrisy, and so they were trying to do everything they could to discredit what Jesus was trying to share with people. In Luke chapter 15, we find this story that Jesus shares. Begin with verse 1 of Luke chapter 15. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all together gathering around Jesus to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. I tell you the truth that In the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons, should be quotes underneath righteous persons, who do not need to repent. Lost people matter to God. If you've ever been lost, you realize that being lost is no place to be. I can remember as a kid, I was 5 years old, my family, we took my cousins and everybody, we all went to this Bible museum, and for one reason or another, I was left behind. They say that it was unintentional. Maybe it was, but you know, for a five-year-old kid, it was horrifying. And I can still remember walking through, and I mean, suddenly there was, I didn't know anybody, saw a bunch of wax figures of these big old people that came out of the Bible, and they're all staring at me. And it was frightening. You know, in this story that Jesus told, there was a shepherd who had 100 sheep, and he must have been counting noses. You know, 96, 97, 98, 99. And then he realizes one is missing. You know, maybe it was the one with a black spot on its right hoof. I don't know, but he realized that there was one that was missing. You know, when I was in school, and if I scored a 99 on a test, that was pretty good. You know, some people, they graduate summa cum laude. I graduated thank you, laude. I mean, that's how I graduate. I don't know about you. But if I got a 99, that is amazing. You know, but I thought, that's good. I'll take a 99, and we won't even ask any questions whatsoever. And I imagine some of our farmers here today, you know, if you're taking care of pigs, you know, if 99% of those pigs, if they last the whole time, that'd be pretty good, wouldn't it? I mean, you're gonna lose some somewhere along the way, right? But evidently, for this shepherd, 99 was not good enough. He wanted to see them all rescued. What does it mean to be lost? I pulled up the dictionary and I began looking up the meaning of the word lost, and a lot of different meanings came up. But one meaning is you're unable to find your way. Have you ever been in the car with someone and as they're driving, you start wondering, are they unable to find their way? You've been there? Yeah, I know. I've ridden with people like that. They, you know, they say that they know where they're going. But you're just starting to wonder about them because you passed that same house four times. Do these people even know where they're going? You know, a loss can also mean to have vanished or to be spent or to be no longer in existence. I don't do laundry, but I have heard stories of people who do laundry. And what I understand is you put two socks in the laundry, you push a couple buttons, you close the lid, and it does its whole thing. It whirls and spins and everything. You open it up, and mystery of all mysteries, one of those socks is gone, right? And it has vanished. It is no longer in existence. We simply would say it's lost, right? Another definition for loss means to no longer be known or practiced. I can remember when I still believed that I could outrun my oldest son. You know, we were sitting at lunch one day, and he was talking about joining the track team, and in a moment of idiocy, I said out loud, "I can still outrun you." He said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Prove it." I said, "Okay." And so after lunch, we headed all up the street, me and my oldest son, all the way to the stop sign. The rest of the family, they're down at the driveway, about 200 yards away. 200 yards, no problem. And somebody down there says, "Go." And so we took off. Well, actually, he took off, and you know, I kind of slipped a little bit because I didn't have the right shoes on. And then the sun got in my eye, and, you know, it was bad, you know. And somewhere along the way, I lost a step. To be lost, it means It means something's no longer practiced. It means something is not where it's supposed to be. I think that, to me, that's the best definition of being lost, is being in the wrong place. In the story, Jesus talks about a sheep that could not find its way. A sheep that was in the wrong place. It wasn't where it was supposed to be. And the reason he tells this story is because there's a group of leaders in the church that were questioning him, why are you spending time with sinners and tax collectors? You know, Jesus, he went out of his way to hang out with lost people. Jesus, he was seeking them out. He was making a difference in their lives. Think about that girl Amanda for a moment. How do you think she felt the moment she took her first wrong step? How was she feeling? You think she was feeling scared? Yeah. Yeah, honestly, I don't think she was scared. I don't think she was embarrassed when she took her first wrong step. She probably didn't know that was the first wrong step. She was probably just as confident of taking that first wrong step as she took all the other right steps. I was born and raised on Hanna-Barbera cartoons, all right? So in my mind, I see Wile E. Coyote. You know, and he is racing just as fast as he can to the edge of that cliff. And you know what happens when he takes that first step off the cliff? He's still going. He's feeling great. I got this. Takes a couple steps off that cliff, but there's a moment where it dawns on him, I am in the wrong place. Pulls out the little sign, you know, like, help me. But it wasn't when he took the first wrong step off the cliff. It was several more steps off that way. And I think that's what Amanda was feeling. You know, the first several steps, you know, she had no idea that she was in the wrong place. She just kept heading that wrong direction with great gusto. When it comes to our spiritual journey, we need to realize that our default heading in life is not toward God. It is away from God. You know, we're that sheep that has wandered away. But the crazy thing is, we don't know that we're in the wrong place. You know, we're in the wrong place spiritually. We just don't realize that. We're just like Amanda, wandering along the trail of life, thinking we got this thing all figured out. And we're going with confidence in a direction that's leading us further and further away from where we are supposed to be. Think about this. You don't have to wander too far off course to be lost, do you? I mean, you think about losing your keys. They can be 3 feet away from where they're supposed to be, but they are still lost. You don't have to go too far away to truly be lost. I'm going to shift gears for a moment, because really this parable is about how God feels about the lost. You know, when it comes to being lost, we really got to think about, how does God feel about it? I mean, when the shepherd realizes one of his sheep was missing, this guy sprang into action. You know, he knew something valuable was in the wrong place, and he called for an all-out search until what was lost was found. And that's what the authorities did. When Amanda's boyfriend came and he told them what had happened, and he was afraid of what could have been happening, we don't know where she's at. These guys sprang into action. They set up a command center. They brought in more manpower. They put up maps and these computer grids and satellites, and they had search parties going out in an all-out search to find this girl. Days turned into weeks. They kept looking for her. Now, all that manpower and all that know-how and, you know, all those search parties, did they just all just sit in the command center and hope that Amanda walks in one of these days? No. They all had something very important to do. They had one singular purpose. They had different gifts in order to pull off that purpose, but they were going out. They were looking for that girl who was somewhere out in the forest, and she was lost. In fact, as the days went on, they realized how much more critical it was to find her. Thinking what God has done to reach the lost, our thoughts immediately go to Jesus. That's what he has done to reach the lost. Just yesterday I was at a wedding and the minister said, he read from John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." Hey, what God has done to reach the lost, he sent his only Son into this fallen world. Now, he didn't send him on this great big old, white horse. He comes, waving a sword. He comes as a baby. He came to experience life as a human being. He took then the penalty of all of our spiritual failures and all of our sin upon himself. He came searching for us. He went to the cross. He paid the price for our sin. The innocent took on the full penalty of the guilty. And 3 days later, he rose from the grave. In fact, the Bible says Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Now, when it comes to how we respond to the lost, we can have a number of attitudes. One attitude we can have is we can just have a hatred toward lost people. We can look at their lives, we can be so disgusted at them and the choices they're making. We can post things on Facebook. "Did you notice what so-and-so did? This is just ridiculous." Another attitude we can have is just indifference toward lost people. Hey, you do you, right? It's your life. Live it any way you want to. Just don't let your life interfere with my life and we're all good. One attitude that we often find in the church toward lost people is we have a conditional welcoming of lost people. And what I mean by that is we open the doors, turn the lights on. If a lost person would happen to wander in, okay, we will welcome you on our terms. Just make sure you watch your language. Just make sure that you clean up your act around us. We want you to act like a found person, but it's kind of crazy because lost people, guess what? They act like lost people. You hang around someone who's lost, guess what? You're going to hear some language that you may not like. They may have some habits that cause you to cringe. They may make some choices in their lives that, man, they're head-scratching choices. You wonder, why would anyone do that? Lost people do that all the time. Man, we could sit down sometime. I can tell you some of the stupid choices that I made as a lost person. Now, I still do make some stupid choices from time to time, but thank God those choices the number of them have decreased. I think I'm getting some better. But one attitude that we often don't see, but man, we so need it. It's the attitude of Jesus toward lost people, and that's the attitude we can have. We seek them. We search for them. It's the attitude that shepherd had in that story Jesus told. I mean, from the parable, we learn that Jesus not only welcomed them, he sought them. I mean, could he have found a burger anywhere in that town that night? He could have went someplace else to go get something to eat, right? But he intentionally went and surrounded himself with people who they didn't. The only thing they talked about God is they thought his name was a swear word. And they had the habits that would cause us to cringe. They had the language that we just would shake our head at. They were making choices we just wonder about. Guess who we find right in the middle of them all? We find Jesus. That's where he was. He could have been hanging out with the church people. But he went and he hung out with the people who needed him the most. People who are willing to recognize, man, my life isn't all together. I don't have all the answers. In Luke chapter 19, it says, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." So my question to you this morning is, what is your attitude to lost people. See, lost people matter to God. And if lost people matter to God, they better matter to us. And Rick, what I'm learning is the more that I try to become more like Jesus, the more I realize what's really on His heart is lost people. That's what's on the heart of God. That's what motivates God to do everything that He's doing. Because He's on an all-out search for people who have lost their way, for people who are in the wrong place. God is on a full-on search for those who are just a few steps away from where they should be. Do I spend time with those who are a few steps away from Jesus? When was the last time that I intentionally went out of my way to be with someone who doesn't know Christ? 17 days is a long time to be lost in the forest of Maui. 17 days of eating bugs and berries and drinking whatever water you can come across. 17 days of trying to maneuver on a broken ankle, sunburn, bug bites. 17 days of searching for Amanda. Authorities began to suspect foul play. They were preparing for the worst. In fact, at this point, they were hoping to bring some closure, as they say, whatever that is, to a very sad story. But as a search helicopter flew over an area that they had flown over before, they flew over a clearing that was between two waterfalls. There they saw Amanda. And she heard the helicopter, and she was waving her arms trying to get those guys to see her. And they saw her. In fact, the one guy named Javier, he said, "It's unbelievable. Day 17, and there she is." Actually, in pretty good health, all things considered. But she's waving at them. And, you know, it's nothing short of a miracle that this lost woman was found. I mean, I have a video of Amanda telling her story, so I want you to hear from her, how she described her ordeal and how she described being found by those great people who searched for her. Give them a minute because I asked them to do something that was kind of tough for them to do. So hopefully it'll work. They're doing a great job back there.
It's been a really significant spiritual journey that I was guided on, and there were times of total fear and loss and wanting to give up, and it did come down to life and death, and I had to choose, and I chose life. I wasn't going to take the easy way out.
I'm so incredibly grateful to have my girl home. I felt in my heart she was alive. I never gave up hope for a minute.
Seeing the way that the community of Maui came together, people that know me, people that don't know me, all came together just under the idea of helping one person make it out of the woods alive. It just warms my heart, and just seeing the power of prayer and the power of love when everybody combines their efforts, is incredible. It can move mountains.
All right. Isn't that amazing? Man, I think you can sum up her whole emotions in one word. Gratitude. So grateful. I mean, think what she said. I mean, she said it was the power of prayer. The power of love, you know, of everybody combining their efforts. She said it can move mountains. It's just what Jesus was talking about in this story. But he said that when the shepherd finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep." I tell you the truth, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. There's joy, there's happiness, there's relief, there's gratitude when the lost is found. Think about the party that God threw when you prayed to receive Christ. It's as if God has stretched a banner across heaven, across the stars of the galaxies, and has your name on it. He's celebrating because the lost is found. The one that was in the wrong place has been discovered, has been rescued. You know, something valuable was recovered. It was what was incomplete. The flock was incomplete, has been restored now. You know what? The party is God's way of communicating just how important you really are to Him. I just need to ask you this morning, as we think of this parable, and to ask, do you know for certain that Christ has saved you? Because if our spiritual heading is away from God, there needs to come a moment in our lives that we're rescued, just as it was for Amanda. She knows that there was a moment in time that she was rescued. If you've allowed Christ to find you, He's found you. But you know, like Amanda, though, you saw that basket they lowered down from the helicopter. And while they had found her, they knew where she was, and the basket was there, there came a moment that Amanda had to make a choice, a very personal choice. She could choose to stay where she was, or she could choose to trust the people who were there to rescue her and get in that basket. I think she made the right choice. What do you think? Yeah, absolutely. It's a pretty obvious choice, but she did have to make that. She could have refused their efforts to save her. In the same way, you need to trust Christ and allow His grace to rescue you. If you have never placed your trust in Christ today, you're lost right now. That is the bad news. The good news is Jesus has found you. And Jesus is one prayer away from you to being rescued. This is your moment to trust Him. I want to lead you in a prayer this morning. And if you have not trusted Christ personally to save you, this is your prayer this morning. So would you pray for me, or pray with me, and then I have some more things to share to all of us. So let's pray together. Lord, for those who are here this morning that they kind of understand what that means to be like Amanda, that they've wandered on the wrong paths of life, that they understand that they are in the wrong place spiritually, I want to lead them in a prayer. And I pray especially for those that need to place their faith in You this morning. You know who they are, and I believe the Spirit of God is confirming just with their own hearts. This is where you're at now, so this prayer is for you. And so, Lord, I just lift up this prayer. I ask that You would help them to make it their own. Dear God, I come to You in the name of Jesus. I admit that I'm not right with You, but I want to be right with You. I ask You to forgive me of all my sins. The Bible says, if I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in my heart that God raised Him from the dead, I will be saved. I believe with my heart. and I confess this moment that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of my life. Forgive me and help me to live a brand new life according to your power and grace. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you prayed that prayer and if you meant that prayer for the first time, I want to say, first of all, welcome to God's family. I'm so grateful that you're here and that God has brought you here and that you placed your faith in Christ. If you could do something for me, that would be very powerful. In the bulletin, there is a tear-off sheet. At the bottom, it says, I made a decision today. And if you can mark that I made a decision to receive Christ as my Savior, or perhaps you have recommitted your life to Christ, if you could fill that out and just give that to me at the end of the service, or give that to one of our greeters, we have some things that can help you to grow in your life with Jesus. You know, there are many here today, though, that, and I know as I've been visiting with you and I get to know you more and more, I know that you have trusted Christ as your Savior. It may have been a year ago, 5 years ago, or sometime last century, like me. But Jesus is calling you and me to be part of the search and rescue team. That we are to go out and to find those who are lost, who need Christ. And believe it or not, God has put people in your life right now who are a few steps away from a relationship with Jesus. And He's counting on you and me to help them to take those next steps. And today I want you to ask God to open a door of opportunity so you can walk through those doors and to share Christ and the good news that you have found. I think we think of ourselves as like those people on that search team who are looking for Amanda out there in the forest. You're one of those guys. You're one of those girls who are part of that team to rescue and to see this one who was lost found. And there's a community of people right around us who need the same hope of Christ that you have. We've done the research. And believe it or not, there are 10,000 people within 15 minutes of this property. They don't go to church anywhere. They need Christ. They need the hope of Jesus. And guess who He's put on the rescue team? It's you. Me. Like, well, who are these folks? They're your neighbors. They're co-workers. Maybe they're family, they're friends that you have, and they're a few steps away from Jesus. And God has put you in their life. Let's ask God to open those doors of opportunity for us. And then let's courageously go through those doors with the hope of Jesus. Let me pray for you right now. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank you for the joy of being able to share the good news. It never gets old. I thank you that the lost can be found. I thank you, God, that you are still in the business of rescuing people. I thank you that you have rescued me. And I pray, oh, Heavenly Father, that you would so be with us. I pray for those this morning that have received you as their Savior. I ask that this day would be a day that they etch not only in their Bible, but also in their spirit, saying that on September 22nd of 2019, that Jesus came into my life, that I trusted Him, and He saved me. I pray, O God, that you would help each of us as well, those who have been walking with you, that we remember when you did find us and you got us back on the trail that we needed to be on in life. Help us to recognize that there are people right around us who need you. There are people in our schools, they're in our neighborhoods, they're in our own family. They need the everlasting hope that we find only in Jesus. So I pray that you would help us to be as diligent as the men and women were on that search party searching for Amanda. Just as committed as that shepherd was to finding the one lost sheep, send us forth that we might see boys and girls and men and women find the everlasting hope that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. In His name we pray. Amen.